Shall we pray for the word this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the preaching of the word this morning. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We thank you for understanding. And this morning, Lord, we pray that you'd come and speak to each and every one of us. We pray that you'd encourage people today, strengthen somebody through your word. Give answers, Lord, to the questions that your people might have. We open our hearts to you and we say, Lord, come and have your way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Can I please ask the young man in front here if you can bring me those three kettlebells? Do you know what a kettlebell is? Let's see. I'm now checking. Put them in line of service, of size on top here. Thank you so much, man. Now, in front here, I've got three kettlebells. And you're wondering, what are you going to do with those kettlebells? I want to check how fit you guys are. Each one of you is going to do 3 reps of 10. All right? Edward, which one do you want to start with? The smaller one. The smaller one, right? Now, lately I've been mixing up my training regime. I used to only do cardio. I used to do cycling only. That's all I did. And I realized that I reached almost a plateau, a threshold, a ceiling where I couldn't go beyond. And somebody told me that you need to add something else to your training regime. You need to add strength training. Okay? So strength training, that is what I started doing from probably October last year. And now, I don't know if you understand anything about strength training, but to build strength, the muscles must work harder than they normally do. To build strength on your biceps or on your quads or your whatever, you need to apply more weight, or your muscles need to work harder than they normally do. And this resistance comes in the form of these weights. Right? So in my study, I use all three of them. Now, when I started off in October, I was working on a 6 kg kettlebell. This is a 6 kg. Okay, you do all sorts of movements on this thing here. And then with time, I moved to the 8 kg. All right? With time, I moved on to the 10 kg. Now, depending on what I'm doing, I probably just use the 6 kg. Or if I need to work on my legs, I'll use probably the 10 kg. But I did not start on the 10 kg kettlebell. I started somewhere on the 6 kg. But I remember when I started, I thought I was fit. Because I was fit in a certain way. I was fit around the cardio aspect of things. But with regards to my core, my backside, going up here, I was very weak. And for some time, I was having backaches. I'm still young. I mean, I shouldn't be having backaches. So if I would sleep for too long, for more than 8 hours, I would wake up. Because my back was painful. But when I started doing strength training, which strengthened my core muscles, I was able to sleep longer. I was able to go faster on my bike. Why? Because I was stronger on my core. Okay, but I had to start somewhere on a smaller weight. Now, I want you to realize that life is pretty much like that. Life is about the challenges that you face. And this morning you might be saying, Pastor, why did you have to bring these things here today and torture us with a guilt conscience that we haven't been doing anything with our bodies? Well, I'm hoping that you'll be inspired. Amen. Come on now. Yes, hallelujah. I'm hoping that you buy the 6 kg and start doing something with it until you're strong enough to go to the 8 kg. The reason why I'm telling you these things is because it has inspired the title of my message this morning. We are still going through the series titled, Visible Truth is Contagious. So today I want to talk to you on a subject matter, visible truth in the face of hardships. Amen. Visible truth in the face of kettlebells. I want you to know that you will not know somebody until they've been made to push 16 times on an 8 kg kettlebell. Yeah. You will not know the character of somebody until something has happened in their lives that causes them to produce their real self. Now, whether we like it or not, we will face challenges here on earth. And I want to remind you, we are not yet in heaven. We are here on earth, and this is a fallen world. And I've got good news for you. This happens to all of us. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And maybe you've been asking a question, but why do bad things happen to good people? Haven't you asked that question? Why do good things happen to bad people? Yes, for instance, good things do happen to bad people, but bad things happen to good people. And you've been a great child of God. Lately, you've been coming to church. Lately, you've been praying more. Lately, you've been giving in the house of God. And yet, certain things are just getting harder and harder and harder. What is going on here? Can I tell you an answer? A very simple answer. It is because there is a purpose to your pain. There is a purpose to the pain you are going through right now. And like I've said, there's no better time to show forth your truth than during times of adversity. There's no better time to show forth your truth than during times of financial constraints in your life. When there's no moolah coming through, and every time you look at your account, the month seems to be longer than the amount of money in the account. There's no better time than those times. There's no better time to show the truth that you've believed in than those times where there's chaos and your bedroom is like a war zone. To the married people. You see, if you want to know whether a fruit is an orange fruit or not, you squeeze it. You squeeze that fruit until the juice comes out. And this is what happens when pressure comes in our lives. The real you comes out. The real me comes out. Don't come to me when all is well to recognize what type of a man I am. Come to me after I've had a huge fight with my wife. Oh yes, by the way, we do fight. Just to make you realize that you're normal. Glory be to God. I can't stand here and tell you like, man, we don't fight for 16 years. Nothing. You know, you've got to learn how to fight. You've got to learn how to handle conflict. You fight knowing very well that this is my own. It doesn't matter what happens. We are in this thing for life. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, I want you to write this down if you're writing. The way you view adversities and challenges will determine how you respond to them. The way you view, my wife lately has been seeing a personal trainer at the gym. And every time she comes back, she says, man, the guy killed me. Like, what happened? Like, man, he made me do this and this and this and this. Now, she has a choice to look at that guy as her enemy or as her ally. Somebody who's there to change something in her physique. Somebody who's there to help her develop muscles. Unless she views that man as an ally, she will always have issues going to Virgin Active for those sessions. And the same thing is true when it comes to challenges. The way you view what you're going through right now will determine how you respond to them. And I want you to realize that a lot of Christians are facing challenges on multiple ends. You know, somebody says, if you are crying and complaining, why did this person of mine die? Why did my uncle die? Why did it have to be me? The question is, if not you, who is supposed to have these issues? Oh, yes. Who do you wish this thing on? So the way you view adversities and challenges will determine how you respond to them. James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4. Remember last week we introduced the book of James and we started speaking about James, the brother of Jesus, who rather called himself a bond servant of Jesus Christ. James 1 verse 2. I want to hear those Bibles going. We don't have a projector. I want to make sure that we're on the same page. Hallelujah. Those of you who've got iPhones and oppose. Just go to your Bible app. Glory be to God. James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4. I want to preach quite fast here. I've got a lot to cover so that we don't run late. The Bible says, I'm reading from the NIV, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Here is James giving us an insight on how we should consider trouble when trouble comes our way. Now, what is the big idea in this portion of scriptures that we've read? The big idea here is that your hardships are meant for a purpose and for a reason. This is the big idea. There is an end game to your hardships, and you need to renew your mind regarding them. Saints, I know it is not nice what you're going through right now, but if you are to live out your truth in a visible way, you need to look at your hardships with a different set of lenses. You've got to look at your issues with a different set of lenses. Now, there are various ways of responding to challenges in our lives. You can respond to a challenge in anger, where you get angry with everybody around you. You get angry with your teacher at school. You get angry with your pastor. You get angry with your mom, with your dad. That's one way of responding to issues. You are angry with your mom and your dad because they did not get enough money for you to go to a certain university that you wanted to. Or you can blame people around you. You can blame the past. You can blame the skin tone of your the tone of your skin. You can blame your origins. You can blame the fact that you're not born as a South African, and therefore that is why things are not working out for you. You can blame the fact that you are in Africa where there are problems with power. Come on, am I talking to somebody this morning? Or you can give up and run away. You can give up on certain relationships and you run away. You can give up on your work and you resign, not knowing what you're going to do next. Why have you resigned? It is because I'm not happy at work. My boss is a pain on my side. And then you leave your job. That's a way of responding to challenges of life, because when your personal trainer pushes you from a 6 kg to an 8 kg, you have a choice to keep at it or to bail out. You will not appreciate what I'm talking about until you've done this exercise. You will not appreciate that. You see, sometimes I found it easy to get used to the 6 kg. But hey, to transition from an 8 kg to a 10 kg, it's another conversation. Now, James says there is a way that you should respond if you are to live out your truth visibly. He says, count it all joy. Consider it pure joy when things are somewhat difficult. And I want to say to you, this is a radical way of responding to challenges, because it's not a natural way of responding to challenges. People around you, if you respond to your challenges with joy, they'll look at you and they'll say, maybe we should take you to Falkenberg. That's a mental institution in Cape Town. I don't know anyone here, but in Cape Town there was Falkenberg. You know what I'm talking about? Those of you who've been to the Western Cape. Like, no, you need to be admitted, because how can you be smiling when things are so difficult at home? How can you be smiling when your child hasn't been doing well at school? Consider it a joy. Now, James calls them trials. Other versions in the different Bible iterations, they've got temptations, trials, tests. But the accurate one is trials. Because there is a difference between tests, trials, and temptations. But James says, count it all joy when you encounter different types of trials. And that is a more accurate translation regarding what God wanted to pass on to the people. What is the difference between trials and temptations? You find that trials and tests are present in your life to reveal the genuineness of your faith. That is why you are going through certain things right now. And more often than not, trials and tests are allowed by God, they are permitted by God in your life in order to test the genuineness of your faith. Come on now. I'm going somewhere with you this morning. We are talking about visible truth is contagious. We are talking about visible truth in the face of hardships. And I want you to understand that when you are under a test, God tests us with the hope that we will pass the test. That is the issue about trials and tests. When God does that, He is not hoping that you're going to fail. He is hoping that you are going to pass. On the other side, temptations. Temptations are coming from the enemy, and the devil wants you to fail. Whenever the devil throws a temptation in front of you, he wants to cause you to fail. Now, the beautiful thing about the devil, okay, he's not beautiful, but I'm saying generally speaking, he does not have absolute power. No matter what the devil tries, he does not have absolute power, because it is the Father in heaven who determines how much the devil can push on us. And whatever the enemy pushes on us, the heavens would have determined that you have enough muscle power to withstand whatever has come your way. Amen. Glory be to God. So there is no way, and I mustn't expect you to say, there is nothing I could have done. The fact that it came your way, there was an assessment done by heaven. And the Father God said, she can handle it. Allow it. So, further down as we go with the book of James, we'll talk more about temptation, and you see the major difference between trials and temptation. It is therefore important for you to know the difference and to understand, what am I facing right now? Is this a temptation, or it's a trial, or it's a test from God? Because the way you react to a temptation is totally different from the way you respond to a test and to a trial. More often than not, a temptation, you run. A trial and a test, you stand your ground. Glory be to God. You persevere. You hold on. Hallelujah. Now, as a believer, you face many tests because of your confession in Jesus. The origin of your tests and the pressures you're experiencing now, it is so much because you have faith in Jesus. Now, I need you to understand something, that when you got born again, you were introduced to the now. You were introduced to the reality. You were introduced to a fallen world. And when you are going through the now, the present state of things, you are going through the transformation process. You are going through a process of preparation for that which is to come. It is what we do right now that will enable us to experience the yet to come. But for now, our now was never meant to be comfortable. Our now was meant to be transformational. Does somebody hear me this morning? Every believer needs to have this revelation that our existence right now was never designed to be comfortable, but was designed to transform us, to make us ready for the yet to come. Now, you will wonder sometimes if God is present in your now. You will wonder sometimes whether, if God is actually present, what on earth is God doing about this situation? You look around you and like, man, I've been going through this for years. When is this thing going to come to an end? And some of you have started to doubt even your faith and your belief, whether you are still a born-again Christian or not. Because you say to yourself, if I was really, really born again, this should not have happened in my life. I don't know if you've been there before. Where you look at your life and like, if I was a child of God, this should not have happened. Now, Abraham The father of faith was tested by God when God asked him to offer his son as a sacrifice. He was a friend of God. He was walking with God. And yet God came to him and said, "Can I please have your son?" And the Bible says it was after he had gone ahead and was almost about to slay his son that God spoke and says, "Now I know that you fear me." The fear of God in the life of Abraham could only be expressed by his actions regarding that which God had requested of him. You see, there are times in our lives where we think, "Man, my faith is pumping. My faith feels like a V6 engine. My faith feels like I can just say anything and anything happens." And then you try and nothing happens. I went through a season in my life where by God's grace, it looked like everything I prayed for was coming through. I remember there was a phase in my life where everything that I would pray for and trust God for, God would come through. Things would just happen. Until a certain period of my life, I would pray and pray and nothing would change. Nothing would happen. And I realized God was doing something. He was shifting gears in my faith level. You see, I'm going ahead of myself here. When you have worked long enough with a 6 kg kettlebell, you reach a certain point where you can do many reps without feeling anything. You can do 60 of these. And you're like, "Huh? I can have coffee right now doing this." Right? The moment you feel like you can have coffee doing a certain rep on a certain weight, it's time to shift. Otherwise, your growth has plateaued. Your growth has stopped. And we said, strength is gained by applying a stress that is more than the normal stress. I'm going somewhere with that around the issues of challenges. You see, the trials and tests that we experience are meant to purify us. How many times have we sang the song, "Purify me"? Purify me, O God. Refine us, fire. You know, I don't know whether we actually comprehend what that song is requesting for. I don't know in your minds when you pray and say, "Lord, purify me," what are you picturing this purification process to be? You see, just like an ironsmith, when we go out and we mine, I do a lot of work in mines. When we mine for gold, or we mine for lithium, or we mine for iron, when you extract it from the ground, it comes out in the form called ore. And ore is a mixture of the metal and dirt, earth, and everything else. And when you look at it, it doesn't look valuable. You can say, "Man, what's the point of putting this in a truck? There's no value in here." It is because you cannot clearly see the metal in the ore. But what the ironsmith does, he then subjects that ore in a very high temperature oven, whereby he burns it until it reaches its molten state. And it is in that molten state that they're able to separate the iron in the dross. In the state of its molten state, that is where you are able to separate gold from dust. Purify me like refiner's fire. The Lord says, "Thank you. We're going to come." You know, we don't know how he's going to come. So in the molten state of a believer is useful in the hands of God. Because in the molten state, the Lord is able to pour you into a shape. In the molten state, the Lord is able to shape you into a type of sword he wants you to be. But as long as you are in that awe state, you are as good as nothing. Put this down. The genuineness of your faith is tested by the application of a demand on it. The genuineness of your faith... Now, I want you to realize that some of us, When we, not some of us, all of us, when we got born again, we got born again and we were in the state of an awe. We were in awe state. And God cannot use awe. God wants to use gold. God wants to use pure iron. The Lord then will subject you to a process. So saints, whatever you're going through right now, you are going through a process. It's a process of purification. It's a process where God would want to see His image in you. You see, as long as gold has got impurities in it, the iron smith cannot see himself. But at a certain point, when all the impurities are out, he can see the reflection of his image. So whatever you're going through right now, the iron smith in heaven is saying, I cannot see myself clear. As things stand right now, this is not my image, it's blurry. This is not the way I am, and we're going to work on you, because inside of you, there is my image I want to see. Does somebody hear me this morning? Visible truth in the face of challenges. The genuineness of your faith is tested by the application of a demand. You see, sometimes we're under the illusion that you have a strong faith until something happens that almost wrecks your faith. You see, when you are with a trainer who is seasoned, no seasoned trainer will push you from a 6 kg to a 10 kg. You know what happens? If he does that, you get injured. If you don't get injured, you get so sore tomorrow morning that you don't want to go back. Okay, you don't comprehend what I'm talking about here. There's a certain type of pain you experience after you overworked, that even walking up the stairs, you want somebody to carry you. There are moments where when I'm going up, I walk like I'm walking on eggshells because my calves are painful. What's going on here? So it's, you know, God himself, your coach, your personal trainer knows you are not ready for a 10 kg. Let's keep him here. Let's keep him on the 8 kg. Whatever you're going through, it's fit for purpose. It's what you need right now. I mean, have you ever been in a place where you look at JT's problems, you're like, hey, I thank God that I'm not him. Because if I was him, I would not survive that. Oh yes, you are right. He also looks at you like, I thank God that I'm not him. Because if I was there, I wouldn't survive. Why? Because the trainer knows that you're still here at the 6 kg level. And he's going to keep you there. That is why sometimes there are some problems that just keep on coming. Keep on coming. Like, man, I thought I'd overcome this thing. It pops up again. What's going on here? The Lord is saying, at this level of temperature, if I crank it up a bit, I might lose you. Now, the pressure test you experience will expose and remove anything that is fake about your faith. When you're in the pressure cooker, when you are in that oven, it will expose everything that is fake about your faith. Because when you go through a certain knock in your life, you go back and re-examine the scriptures in order to really understand what God is saying to you. Now, James says, count it all joy when you face various trials and tests. Now, I want you to understand something here, that James is not advocating for you to have joy in the trials themselves, but he's saying rather have joy in the possible outcome of your trials. Okay, let me just try and retrace. James is not saying rejoice in the pain. He is saying rejoice in the possible outcome of the pain. So, I've been working out, pushing, doing pranks, doing everything. You know, and last week I ride with these guys in Centurion. And I probably did my fastest training. And I think, though I had not been training hard during the holidays, but when I joined that first group, I was able to continue. We did 88 Ks, averaging 31 kilometers an hour. Okay, you will not understand what I'm talking about. It's like, Pastor, use another example. The reason why I was able to do that is because my core is stronger. I saw the results. Came back home, my wife thought I was just going to sleep the whole day. No, I felt okay. The reason why I felt okay is because my core is now stronger. So I want you to understand that whatever you're going through is only making you stronger. It's only making you a better person. Hallelujah. Do you know that when you have passed a certain challenge, your faith goes and grows to a certain level, you are then able to deliberately apply your faith to something of your choice. Does somebody hear me this morning? You see, you lost your job. You lost your job and it was difficult. But you believed God. You stood your ground. You kept praying. You lay hands upon those cupboards that were empty. You say, Lord, I know you will fill up these cupboards one day. Lord, I know that my car will have enough fuel. Lord, I will not be driving with a heart palpitation. Like, I hope my car won't stop. I hope my car won't stop. Right? You believed God and you trusted God and boom, the Lord gives you a job. You have graduated in your faith. You are then able to use that same faith to believe God for a business opportunity. It's now on the same level where you would not have even thought of uttering business in your tongue before you went through that financial challenge. That is what challenges do to us. You see, Jesus is a prime example of how to do this. On how to understand that I have joy not because it is fun using an 8 kg, but I know I'm thinking of the boys I ride with, and I'm thinking of that particular guy who gave me grief the last time. I'm like, I'm gonna work it out and I'll surprise him next week. Let's keep doing what we need to do. And then I remember one day a guy said to me, my boy, do you have a motor in your bike? Is it an e-bike? I'm like, it's not an e-bike. It's my muscles. Come on now, what am I talking about? So I'm saying here, it's not, you see, after my training, I am drenched with sweat. And my kids look at me with surprise, like, Daddy, how many calories did you burn? Like, 1,200. Like, huh? Like, yeah, we don't play, okay? We do what we need to do because we know what happens on a Saturday morning. 6 a.m. when people are sleeping, we are fighting with each other on the road, and people don't know how strong we are. Some of us are 44, but we look like we are 35. What's going on here? I'm talking about, I'm sweating already, but I'm saying I do this because of the end game. I know the type of boys I ride with. They won't allow you, they won't drop you, they'll push you. To match up, there are things I need to do. That is why James says, count it all joy. Whatever challenges you're facing right now, count it all joy. And we learn from the Lord Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen to this. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man. Consider him who endured such life. Why? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I don't know what you're facing. Don't lose heart. Don't grow faint. In your day of trial, let Jesus be your model and focus your attention on him. The Bible says he scorned the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before him. What is this joy? It is you and I. Jesus, in his mind, already he could see billions of small Jesus is coming. He saw billions of people being reconciled with the Father. And he said, it is worth it. Do whatever you do, but I'm not giving up. For I know what I'm destined for. Do whatever you do, I'm not about to throw in the towel. For I know what God has in store for me. Hallelujah. I want you to know that the higher your calling, the higher the test. Woo! Some of you, it is because of where you're going that certain tests have come your way. He scorned the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before him. You see, in life you face a lot of tests. One of the major tests you face all the time, it is the betrayal test. The betrayal test will test you proper. You see, like Joseph in the Bible, just to give you a few examples, who was betrayed by his own family, by his own brothers, you face betrayal from those closest to you. They will reject you. Because you refuse to partake in certain rituals. Because you refuse to be a party to certain ways of life. They will reject you. They will persecute you. Yesterday when we were praying here, we prayed for you. And we said, Lord, as we tap into this dimension of proclaiming Jesus, may your people stand on the day of persecution, on the day of testing. You see, in the face of betrayal, Joseph refused to be fleshly about it. That is where we are talking about visible truth in the face of adversity. He refused to be fleshly about it. And I want you to know, when you're under the test, when you're under the pump, the enemy wants you to react in a fleshly way. In the same way that the guy next door will react. However, Joseph looked at his betrayal through the eyes of God. When you look at Genesis 50 verse 20 says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to keep many people alive. What a perspective. Do you think it was nice for him to be thrown in that pit by his own brothers? But he got a revelation. May you receive a revelation concerning your challenge right now. May you receive an understanding in the spirit of the journey that you are on. You see, in the face of betrayal, it is called upon us to be gracious, to be tender-hearted, to show unconditional love. And by that, your truth is visible before all. When people expect you to kick back, you don't kick back. You remain in your loving state. That is how Joseph responded to betrayal. May the Lord grace you in that way. Another test you're going to face, I call it the worship test. You see, the life that we live, it's a great contestation about who receives worship. It's about where your worship should go. The battles that we are facing, it's about battle of worship. It's about whether you worship the living God or you worship money. It's about whether you worship God or you worship your wife, your husband, your children, your comfort, your job. Those are the things that will come and test your worship. And the Bible is full of this type of test. And you'll face many of them. How do you endure the test of pursuing money more than God? I always say this to my kids. I won't do that. That's it. I'm not prepared to die on that mountain. You've got to come to a place and say to yourself, am I prepared to die on that mountain? The mountain of money. Fame. And those are the challenges that we're facing every single day of our lives. Young people, the test of being mocked because you refused to touch your girlfriend in an inappropriate way. You know how it is? Everybody is looking at you. Do it! Kiss her! Do it! The Valentine ball is coming, eh? Yeah! Do it! Come on, dude. Come on, dude. Do it. What do? Hallelujah, Bazalwani. That's a real test that you face as young people. Those of you who are in high school and going to university. How do you endure persecution that comes because you refuse to falsify accounting figures? You accountants. How do you persevere when you are at the verge of losing everything because you have chosen to remain integrous in what you do? You won't be the first one, because Job was at the receiving end of this test. Job lost his houses, his riches, his cattle, and even his own children. And yet, during this time of loss, Job chose to have a different outlook to life. He chose to praise God for his goodness. One day, when you are receiving, at the receiving end of this type of test, I want you to recognize that everything that you have has come from the hand of the Lord. And Job recognized that. When you look at Job chapter 1 verse 21, he says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I know a lot of people say this is not theologically sound, but I want you to know that God is sovereign. God will do what He wants with us. There's a place in the book of Isaiah where the Bible says, "How can the clay say to the potter, 'Why did you make me this way?'" So Job was right by saying, "He has given me and He has taken." And the reason why I believe in this strongly, it is because there is nothing that the enemy will take away unless the Lord allows it. And this is what Job was referring to. When he said, "The Lord has given me, and He has allowed it to go. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Put this down. Anything that touches your social and physical well-being will test your allegiance. Anything that tests your social and physical well-being will test your allegiance. Who are you aligned to? Some believers are aligned with God as long as they are healthy. The day that something goes off health-wise, they lose it with God. And I'll ask you this morning, is that how big your God is? Is that how small your God is, that He is God as long as there is everything that I need? You see, God has to be God whether our prayers have been answered or not, because He was there before we were there. And He will be there after we are gone. Hallelujah. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, every test calls for perseverance. You have to persevere. And you only persevere when you know that God is working it out for something good for you. I was telling the guys here in prayer yesterday, and I said, God has a way of making up lost time. You might be a late bloomer, but when your time comes, the Lord will accelerate your progress, and He will make up all the losses you have heard in your life. Hallelujah. That is why we are encouraged to wait upon the Lord. When the Lord comes, He will cause you to forget the pain of your youth. That is what Joseph said when he gave birth to Manasseh. He said, "For the Lord has been so good to me, He made me to forget the pain of my youth." And when the Lord comes in for you, everybody will know that it is God. It's not the doing of man. Hallelujah. You see, when you look at this word to persevere, perseverance means being persistent despite the difficulties or delays you face. You see, it doesn't take 1 week to move from a 6 to an 8. You've got to keep on it until your body is conditioned. When your coach is telling you, "Today we're doing 5 more reps, 5 more than we did last week," you've got to hold on. You've got to keep on doing it. You don't stop praying because you haven't had your prayers answered. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray with all manner of prayer. Because as you are waiting for God, the Lord is fashioning your character. The Lord is forming your character so that when the answer comes, you are ready to engage in the answer. Sometimes the Lord delays answers to ensure that when His answers come, our character will be able to withstand God's blessing. There are times where people backslide because they've recently bought a new car. There are times where people stop coming to church because they've been promoted at work, and because MDs go on golf things on a Sunday morning. It means that that promotion came prematurely for you. Because if God had worked enough in your heart, if God had fashioned your heart, you would have known this came from the Lord. I will not turn my back on God because now I have to go on certain trips that are not even useful for your business. Come on now, does somebody hear me this morning? I want to talk to you because some of you are at the verge of promotion. The Lord will increase you so much that you start seeing yourself differently. You start asking, what do people do on a Sunday morning? They network. They network. And where does that happen? At the golf course, right? Pastor, you need to understand things have changed. Let me prepare you before you get there. I pray that your blessing remains a blessing. May it not turn into a curse. Some people, the moment they are so blessed out there, they start looking down on the house of God and the people of God and the pastors in the church. They can no longer listen to the pastors. Why? Because there's promotion that came. Who was praying with you when you're trusting God for that promotion? Who was fasting with you? And when the Lord has done it for you, you turn your back. That is why sometimes the Lord will move you from here to here. He increases the weight to break you. So that when the blessing comes, you are so broken. And you say, Lord, it's about you. What do you want? That is why Abraham was able to give Isaac. Because he knew, I didn't work for this boy. This boy came from God. He can have him. Anyway, I had been so old before I got this boy. I go back to my old life. I'm sure he was reasoning. Like, you know, if this is how God wants, I lived so many years, 100 years, without a boy. If God wants him, that's okay. I go back to the normal. I'm talking about a man whom God had worked on. If you keep going, at some point you will notice that you're able to adapt to the challenges around you. You see, one of the things I've realized as I close off today, one would think that the more you serve God, the easier life would become. You know, you'd think that the older you get in the things of God, the easier it is to make choices. But A, the opposite is true. I want to say to you this morning, life does not get easier as you get older. It does not remain at 6. You start pushing 10, 12. You see, God gives clearer guidance to younger Christians. He makes it easy for them to know what to do. Because at that point, they are not dealing with complex matters. But the older you get, more responsibility to figure things out by yourself is expected of you. God is saying, I have given you my word. I have given you experience. Look into my word. I have spoken already. And I want you to understand, the older you get, things don't get easier. Why? The Lord is saying, at this level, we need to get your faith to work more. And the Lord wants to work that muscle more and more, because you're also punching heavier things. You see, it's easier, you know, when I make a mistake here, because we are few of us, But the larger the church, the more devastating it is when I utter things that are not doctrinally sound. Because more people are affected. So you'd find that the Lord would then start exposing you to tougher and tougher challenges in order to strengthen your faith. That if half of the church lives on a certain season, you remain standing. You say, you know what? When we started, it was just me and my wife. The same God who brought these 500, He will bring them back. You're able to stand. What am I talking about today? Whenever you are in the middle of a life exam, ask for wisdom to know how to respond and how to deal with it. And that is the context of James chapter 1, verse 5, 6, 7, going downwards, where James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, and He will give it to them without holding back. He then starts qualifying how you should ask. So it wasn't just, I know we apply that scripture to everything, but in the context of that scripture, James was saying, in the middle of persecution, in the middle of hardships, ask wisdom on how to deal with what you're facing. It is wisdom meant to help you to push through your kettlebells. Glory be to God. And I'm saying to us today, whatever you're going through, if it's not something that comes from a place where you have sinned and you've done something wrong, Peter says you need to endure if you are suffering for having done good. What does it help for you to endure punishment having done something wrong? No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you enduring because you have stood your ground as a child of God and everybody is against you. Let's bow our heads and pray. I want you to pray for yourself right now. Whatever you're facing, say, Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray for ability to hold on. I pray that I do not give up in this season. Come on now, let's pray.